spot, I get this Bluetooth receiver not detected. Now, I was, you know, and this is when I'm close to home, so usually I just finish my route and it's fine. If I tried wearing my receiver in a different spot, might that help? Or what could be causing this consistent loss of GPS at almost the same spot every week?
No, I'm not exactly sure. I noticed that yesterday or a couple days ago. I was outside and I ran back into the house to put something into the basement, and I didn't bother turning anything off. And when I went into the basement, I got Bluetooth receiver not detected. I didn't get the NoFix acquiring satellites. It somehow, for whatever reason, lost that connection to the receiver, and I had to, and it only happened once, and I didn't really go up and down the stairs to find out, you know, if that's what was a consistent spot. But I'm wondering if, like, the electronics of the furnace or something just, you know, interfered with that Bluetooth connection and just broke the connection. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they call it the sunspot, I guess.
I guess that's what we can blame it. And it's funny because I was out walking with a friend that has also a GPS, but this person was using a PK with the Holix, and on this trip, the person lost the fix, probably, or not lost the fix, but lost the receiver two or three times. And while I kept on going without having any problems with my receiver at all, so that was sort of interesting, just because with the same exact trip, using the same exact receiver, but different units, one person had no problem with the receiver, and one person had the receiver dropping two or three times.
Well, my what just seems strange to me, it's virtually in the same spot almost every time, and I'm wondering if there's something that's breaking that Bluetooth connection. There's a, I don't know, there's an apartment house, there's a street crossing with a system that, you know, if no car is coming on the side street, it has a tripping mechanism. I don't know. And then on the other side, there used to be an old building there. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But it's just so consistently losing that signal almost at that same spot that it seems like more than coincidence.
Yeah, what I would do is, have you done a 4.5.6 reset lately and just cleared the registry and repaired your receiver and stuff like that? I would try that, and if it loses it in that same area, then chances are it's nothing to do with the Braille note or the receiver. It might even be that specific area.
Thanks. No, I have not done that, but because of some other little anomalies that I'm noticing, I think that would probably be a very good thing for me to do. So it would be the 4.5.6 reset. All right, I will do that.
And if it continues, it might just be something goofy going on with the area, probably some sort of radio frequency that's interfering with the Bluetooth signal that's forcing it to drop the receiver for some odd reason. Not sure why that would happen, but that might be one possible answer.
I think that's a good possibility, but as I say, because of some other little weirdnesses with my M-Power, probably a 4.5.6 reset. I know that wouldn't be a bad idea anyway. Just cleanse the system a bit.
The thing you have to remember with the 4.5.6 reset is that you have to repair the receiver, and as well as changing all your settings back into GPS options, because it'll reset everything back to the factory default.
Right. Oh, Kevin, I cannot tell you how many times I have to do the pairing of the receiver all over again. It's almost an automatic thing with me, so that's not a problem. And readjusting those settings won't be any big deal, because I don't have too many that are too bizarre, so that'll be easily done.
Well, I'll tell you what, we can get started with the, you know, it's not really, it's just kind of a formal discussion, not really a topic, but how we use the GPS with our mobility aids. Now, I use a cane and I've never used a dog. When I walk with my cane, I have the Braille note on my left side and my cane in my right hand. And the GPS receiver is actually up on my right shoulder, and that I just, you know, so we get an idea. I've noticed that when I'm using the cane, not to have the Braille note on the same side as the cane, because if you do, you might run into problems with, and I've actually had this happen, where the cane got stuck in a crack, and I was going at a pretty good clip, and the cane got stuck in a crack, and the force hit the Braille note keyboard and took one of the keys off. So that wasn't a good idea. So I, ever since that day, have always made sure that the Braille note was on the opposite side of the cane, the hand that the cane is in.
That's a pretty good idea, and pretty much I do the same thing with having, since I mainly use the cane and never use the guide dock myself, I always make sure that if the receiver is on the right side, I'm going to use my cane with that particular hand, and just make sure that the Braille note's on the opposite side of the hand I'm using.
Well, that's interesting. Now, I wouldn't even have thought of that. So that means if you're right-handed, have the cane in your right hand and the actual Empower or whatever your instrument is on your left, then you're basically listening to commands, right? And not you, and not I mean, how would you use the keyboard if you needed to say do a one-handed command of some kind?
I would use it with my left hand. So my cane's in the right hand, the Braille note's on the left side, and I would use the commands on the with the left hand.
For me, it's really been a big change because I use the GPS for several years as a guide dog user and am not currently working a dog, and have started using it with the cane and switched it from the right side to the left side, and it's hard to get used to.
What did you do when you were using your dog? How did you manipulate the GPS, you know, when you were going down the street commanding the dog or utilizing the dog?
Well, I found it quite easy to adjust to. I had the dog on my left side, as is typical for guide dog work, and the GPS was on the Braille note was on my right side, and I'm right-handed, so it was very easy for me to issue commands, and I didn't really find any problem with working the dog and operating the GPS. I know others have said they thought it was a distraction, but I always, you know, thought it worked pretty smoothly for me. I guess it took a little practice to get used to it, but the dog was okay with it. But it's been harder to get accustomed to using it with my left hand and with the cane in the right. So I don't know. It's just, it's been quite an adjustment.
Probably a matter of whatever you start off using, it's going to be harder to make the transition. Let's say if you're using a cane with your right hand and you switch to a guide dog, which is traditionally on your left side, it's going to be harder to make the transition from left to right or right to left.
Well, I've used my GPS with two dog guides, and I haven't had a problem at all. Let's see. I prefer to use, today, for example, I had the multiple commands set to intersections because of the lack of curbs. And then occasionally I was using a one-handed command for either the GPS status or especially for the address. So with the dog, with both my dogs, I've had no problem. With the second dog, since I've had it, I had a GPS at the time, so I was aware of incorporating the dog with the GPS. During my training, because it was a short training, it was only 2 weeks, I never used the GPS as part of the actual training. I just trained with the dog. But there is a command that this particular school uses called halt, intended like if somebody starts to talk to you on the street or something and you want the dog to be in a still position, I thinking about my GPS, I practice that a lot, so that by the time I put the dog and the GPS together, there was really no problem at all. I have the receiver on my left shoulder, and the dog's in my left hand, and the Empower's on my right side, and really, it's great. So, the other comment I want to make, somebody mentioned on the list that they are trying to learn the commands and then go out with the GPS, and I guess I just need to say that I try to do the same thing, but frankly, you really don't learn it until you're actually out there using GPS. You can try to study and memorize all you want, but it's actually using the thing that really makes you know it.
Actually, that brings up a good kind of swing off for a second, but you know, when you're new and you're getting this GPS, the first thing you want to do is learn the system, learn how to navigate menus, learn how to, you know, this isn't really hard fast, but learn how to navigate menus, learn how to open programs, close programs, open documents, save documents, because that all comes into play. And then when you get into your GPS, you might want to explore virtually and then go out and about with the GPS. I mean, explore virtually so that you get an idea of what things are saying, what's going to happen when a point of interest triggers, what's going to happen when it's telling you you're 200 feet from an intersection and what direction. You know, it's a lot of information that's thrown at you at one time, but it's you learn to kind of filter out that information.
I think exploring virtually is a very good idea, and I would say the next step after that maybe is to go for a ride in a car and just allow the GPS to talk to you and without any routes or anything, and just learn what it's like to hear all of the points of interest that you're passing by and all that, and then create a route and try to follow that route, maybe in a vehicle. You know, and get accustomed to anticipating the upcoming turns and so forth, and then go out and try it with a walking situation where you may create a manual route or you may create a pedestrian route, have the system create one and follow that, but to kind of do it in steps and stages, and before long, it's just you got it all together.
Yeah, another point, too, is that you might want to start out with a route that you are familiar with when you're going out by yourself using GPS. You know, you don't have to, but start out with a route that you're familiar with so that you can get an idea and then branch off and go down streets that you've never been to before. You know, but you have to walk before you can run.
Yeah, and this may be a little silly, but when I'm using my Empower for most tasks, I don't use speech at all, but for GPS, I always have speech going, even if I use the braille display occasionally for some of the one-handed commands, but I would say I primarily depend on speech with my GPS.
I know people have different ideas about how to hear the speech, but for me, I found a really cheap pair of earbuds, and I've had them for a long time. They're going to break soon, I'm sure, but I've had them for a long time, and they really don't block much at all of the ambient noise around me. And I find, for me personally, that's the best way to hear the GPS, is with those earbuds in my ears. But I say cheap because they're not designed to be very to block your ears. You know, they just kind of sit there, and it really works well for me.
Now, here's the question. Do you cover both ears with them? Because I kind of do the similar thing that you do. And, again, it's all personal preference and how someone does it. But I only have one in one ear. And when I feel I absolutely have to have the GPS, you know, have to have both ears free, I just pull it out.
Yeah, I actually put them in both ears.
Yeah, I also have a cheapy earbud, and it just goes in one ear.
I actually have it in one ear. It's basically a cheap $10 Sony headset that splits off into two pieces, and then I'll just have it over
40%.
One of my ears, and if I approach an intersection that's just pretty complicated, or there's a lot of ambient noise that I need to pay attention to, then I just slip off the earpiece real quick and
40%.
Snap it back on when I'm on the other side of the street. And also another thing I have 50%. Is basically a Motorola headset that works pretty nicely, which is a little more pricier, but it works the same way, and it in terms of blocking out ambient noise, it doesn't do that at all.
You know, some of those Bluetooth headsets are made for drivers of cars, and you know, you're not supposed to have anything in your ears that's going to block out the ambient noise.
It's a good point, and it's funny because especially with the Motorola headset that I'm using right now, it's I actually prefer that headset over one that goes into your ear, just because it blocks, it doesn't block the ambient noise that the one that goes in your ear does, and it's also lightweight, and also you don't have wires going from your Braille note to your earpiece.
Yeah, I've got one of those, a Motorola H700, that I've used a little dongle to make that Bluetooth connection, and that works pretty well. I've also tried at times the Radio Shack external speaker. You can kind of put it on your shoulder and hear it that way. But I always gravitate back toward these cheap earbuds because they seem to. The only problem that I had with the Motorola was that occasionally, if the GPS was silent for a bit, it would kind of go to sleep, and you'd have to, when the next command came along, I might miss a word or two of it because it would be waking up.
Yeah, it's actually true, because I found the same thing while I was walking, and let's say there was no points of interest announcing within like 5 to 10 seconds, the headset would just turn off, so if you want to check the next turn, you might have to hit the command twice because your headset turned off.
See, I would find that a distraction in itself.
Yeah, it's a little bit, but it's not really that bad. Like Kevin said, you know, it's really nice not to have the wires.
Yeah, it's probably a trade-off, either not having the wires, or if you do have the wires, you sort of have, well, you get the entire message, but without having the wires, it's sort of nice, and also you have the flexibility of not trying to untangle your wires every 2 seconds.
So what do people do, coming to think about this, what do people do type of, we should rename the topic, but what do you do when you're in a cab or something, where do you use the headset, or do you just let the thing talk, or what do you do?
I just use the Braille display, and so that way there isn't any distraction to the cab driver or other passengers, and I just watch the Braille display, and that seems to work really well.
Yeah, pretty much same here. It depends on if I'm walking already, and if I already have my headset on, I'll just leave my headset on. But let's say if I was just entering a cab, I'll probably just have the Braille display going and just read this information off the display.
I usually use my headset. I still have not resolved all my issues regarding my Braille display, although I will look at that also, but generally I'll use a headset.
Yeah, I would agree, headset and Braille display at that point. It's interesting to think of what it would be like to use it with a voice note or something that didn't have a Braille display. That would be, I think I'd miss that display quite a bit.
It's pretty interesting using it on a plane as well, if you guys ever get a chance to do that. Of course, you have to ask permission, but it's pretty interesting using it on a plane.
I've tried it a couple times on a plane and have never been able to get a fix. But that may have been with the Blue Logger. I don't know if I've tried it with the Holix. I need to try it with the Holix and see.
It's pretty nice with the Holix, since it's pretty, it's a pretty slim receiver in itself. You can just slide under the, the window shade in the window, and you pretty much get a fix almost nonstop. I think the lowest amount of satellites I've ever received on a plane was maybe 5 satellites.
I don't think I've ever used it on a plane. Actually, matter of fact, I know I've never used it on a plane.
You gotta try it, Chris.
You're too busy enjoying the peanuts.
Peanuts? Where?
The free peanuts they give you.
Well, the last flight that I was on, going from Buffalo to California to CSUN, the peanuts were very, very low-calorie peanuts. They were so low-calorie that I didn't even taste them.
You might as well chew on gum or something.
Ah, keeping that figure. I personally, and I, it's, you know, it's because I'm not used to it probably, but I personally find the GPS system more difficult to use with a cane than with a dog. And probably because I'm more comfortable, really, truth be known, with a dog than a cane. But I'm more distracted by it with the cane than I am with a dog. I mean, for me, it's more difficult to cross a street straight, for example, with a cane. And the GPS doesn't help that much of that. All it will tell you if you got on the right street or not when you start walking again.
Yeah, using a cane is kind of a mastery in itself. And then adding a GPS on top of that, it's, I can see where you're coming from.
Are any of you using the, I call them the marshmallow canes, you know, with the rolling tip?
Yes, I use those.
No, I'm not. I've never, I actually have the metal tip where it's just basically a flat metal tip where it's rounded, but I've never used a marshmallow tip.
Me either. I never used one.
I think in the brief interim where I didn't have a dog, and I too, I don't consider my, I mean, I thought about even not getting another dog because it's pretty rough when you lose one. But, you know, I'm a more comfortable dog user than cane traveler. But the marshmallow tip is kind of neat. And many of my friends have converted over to that.
Yeah, basically, you don't have the tap-tap. I actually have constant contact with the sidewalk with the marshmallow tip because it rolls back and forth. So there's no real tapping. You know, the tapping technique just isn't there.
Well, normally if I use my cane, I've always used the rolling tip since they came out. That I don't get stuck in the garden anymore. You know, your little crack there and then you get stuck in it. And then it picked everything up. It could sweep back and forth. I only tap when I'm in a crowded situation and let them know there's somebody there that's making a noise that draws their attention. But by far, the dog is far much better.
So, Chris, if you're using the cane with, the marshmallow cane, as I call it, you would still have your, your instrument on the other side from the cane?
Yes, because I'm not taking the chance again with something happening where that cane's going to jam into the instrument and rip off a key.
How'd it work without the key?
It had to go back. So it made its little trip to California, and then the key was replaced, and I got it back. So I didn't work with it for a couple weeks.
I once had a key ripped off of a laptop when it went through airport security. How that happened, I'll never know. But I got to my destination and I had no shift key, left shift key.
14%.
I guess there's a good thing there's two shift keys, because if they took out your left one, you still have your right one, right?
Yeah, I guess. It was, and actually I managed to find a key. It was actually the key cap that was gone. The key was still there. I actually managed to find a key cap that would work for that key and replaced it.
Well, speaking of trips, I imagine I'll be sending my unit back this summer for, you know, yearly cleaning and all that stuff. Is there anything special I need to remember aside from, you know, saving files and keeping my cards and all that stuff relative to GPS? Is there anything else I need to remember?
Probably keep your receiver because they might not give it back to you.
Definitely.
Yeah, the only thing, you really don't have to do anything. Like you said, just back your files up. So if you have routes on your unit, then you'd want to back those up to your card and keep your cards.
I'd make sure that you have an executable off the unit of the GPS software in case they do resets or something and uninstall it. You could reinstall it when you get it back.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Point well taken, thank you.
Well, to give you the update, since my experience from last week with my GPS, it have not had any problem at all. Sheila called and said, just do everything you can, run it up and down, do it. I did everything. I even let the battery go dead. this is the best it ever ran. I mean, it's keeping good charge. It's responding real great. I'm not loading too many files in it. Baving it back to is. So my opportunity to do a lot with it has not been available, because most of the time I use the GPS in a vehicle. I have not did too many walking experience with the guide dog or the king, a little bit of each, but not enough to be the pros and cons at it. But so far, you know, it's doing good.
So you mean, Jim, after you had all that problem with it, with it dying over last weekend, and then you recharged it, it's been fine ever since? That's great. That really surprises me.
You got that right. I mean, it surprised the heck out of me. I went down to zero, and it actually took 4 days. I left it on, I think, 2 days, 48 hours. It was on 48 hours, including the use, before it went to zero. But Sheila said, if you're not satisfied whatsoever, all the problem you had, we're going to tell them to give you a new one. And I'm very pleased with it. I mean, it is responding really good. And it's just amazed. I mean, all the disappointments I had over a year with this thing, just constantly one problem after another. And, yeah, I am surprised.
It's really good news, Jim.
Surprised as well, but that's great to hear. 20%. That's working again.
Yeah, every time mine had a little quirk this week, I was thinking, uh-oh, is it some contagion it's getting from Jim? So I'm glad to know that all is well. That's great.
I am sitting outside, guys, on my back porch, and have a battery in this laptop that needs to be replaced, and it's soon going to go. So I may listen a little more, but I'll say my 73, I'll say my goodbyes, because I don't have much more battery life.
I'm doing the same thing here too, Robert. I'm sitting out here in my backyard, but my battery's doing fine.
Well, here in Southern California, I'm in the guest room with the computer, and the nice sunny weather out there for Mother Day, I think I'm in the wrong place.
I think I'm in the wrong place, too, because I'm in my office.
I'm outside with my laptop. It's pretty nice out here with 80% battery. Nice and sunny. Nice little breeze.
I have no comment particularly, because I'm just in the boring same old room, although it was a beautiful day, even here in the east.
You're right. It was a beautiful day in the east.
Well, it's nice not to see any more smoke in the sky from Catalina Island, or Griffith Park for that matter. We've got a nice, crisp blue sky out here, and that's good, the way the two fires we had out here just about completely out. Griffith Park is in Catalina Island just a day or so, it'll be completely. But all in all, looking good.
Good to hear, too.
Okay, I'm going to bail out, dude. Hopefully I do a little more this week with it and keep on working it, and it keeps singing the way it should, and I'm glad I didn't put the jink on anybody. It really made me feel good about that. Anyway, take care and enjoy the rest of the week.
Take care, Jim.
Take care, Jim.
Congratulations on your success, Jim. That's terrific.
I guess we lost Robert.
I guess his battery died.
Robert's screen is pretty quiet, sir.
Okay, this is the first time I've used this new software. It seems to work.
Yeah, it's definitely different.
I had to unload my jaws because it kept giving me a percentage. It was kind of just unloaded. Honestly, working.
Didn't quite hear that.
From getting a percentage readout with jaws, so I unloaded the jaws. Now I'm not getting that. Are there scripts that you can load so that you don't hear that spoken?
It's not scripts. It's if you go into the JAWS Configuration Manager when you are focused on the application, and Kevin helped me out here, but you need to go into Set User Options, and then you'll find Announce Progress Bars is what you're looking for.
I can't remember the exact keystroke right now, but what the thing is called, it's called a progress bar. And I guess in terms of the visual function, if there's something along the screen that, depending on how loud you talk, it will either go up or down, depending on, let's say you talk really loudly, it would be 50%, and if you talk at a moderate volume, it would be at 6% or so. But if you want, you can turn that function off.
Oh, great, I'll give that a call. I've got to run right now because we've got to take off, go somewhere, but have a nice week.
nice week.
And of course, I found out that what the keystroke is, it's insert V for verbosity.
Well, that's the temporary one. If you want it permanent, it would be insert F2 to go to the list of managers, or insert 6 on the number row would actually take you into your configuration manager.
Oh, okay. You talking about the permanent one?
The permanent one.
I did, because I used to have that problem with JAWS. I did my insert F2 for configuration manager, entered on that, and then under set options and user options, the progress report. I think that's where the problem was, and it was very easy.
So you guys have any other GPS questions or issues?
No, I keep thinking about the original topic. If there's anything more to add with regard, with use of a dog, and I know somebody commented that her dog was mischievous, and I guess the point is, to work with the dog to get the dog to sit and stay. Although, as I say, if you go into just need certain commands, your most important commands, and learn a couple of the one-handed commands. Stop you not much. I guess that's all I have to say for those 2 cents worth of comments.
You talking about setting multiple repeat commands and also learning the one-handed commands?
Right.
No, I used multiple repeat a lot in the wintertime when I can't get to the device to issue the commands.
Yeah, I'm sure it helps out when it's, 0 degrees over there, huh, Chris?
Yeah, when it's 0 degrees, you're in the middle of a snowstorm, and you got to get to your destination, it really, really helps.
Yeah, I bet, especially probably just because there's probably no sidewalk access, probably having multiple repeat for your heading every so often, too, just making sure you're consistently heading the direction you want to be going and that you're not veering too much.
Yeah, one time and this is actually a topic for another day too, which is cool. But the thing I was doing the one time was I was using the getting warmer method with distance repeat, or not distance, but destination repeating, because that's all I cared about at that particular point. And I found out later that I was going across parking lots and stuff.
That's pretty interesting. You should have made a manual route across the parking lot or something.
Well, I had a route that I was following, but the problem was after that last turn, it was directly to the destination, and it was only, say, 300 feet to the destination, and somehow I got totally messed up off the route. I didn't even bother with the route anymore because at that point it was useless. I was just trying to get to the destination. And the parking lot, I don't even know where. I just, flew across, 2 or 3 parking lots. I mean, that's how the snow can really disorientate you, and then I'm thinking, okay, well, I got this GPS. I might as well utilize it and trust it. And I did, and I got to the door.
Well, I guess it's a good thing that you got there and you had GPS with you.
I know. I keep thinking about a time before I had GPS when I was using a dog, and somebody winged me with a bike, and he went off, and the more I tried to figure out where I was, the worst it got. I was so disoriented, and I think that was one of the lessons that taught me the value of what a GPS system would have for me.
Yeah, I remember prior GPS, and you're walking down the street, and again, you're in the snow, too, and you don't even have to be in the snow to get disorientated, but the snow helps quite a bit, and I ended up where I started off, which I didn't want to be. When I left the building, I was walking around for quite some time and literally got back to that building, and then I started off again, and it worked fine, but it was totally confusing.
That's pretty amazing, and probably another good thing, probably there's something else I carry around with me, along with the GPS, it's a tactile compass, just because even though you have the GPS heading, it's sometimes if you're just exiting a building, and it says head east on Market Street or something like that, you're not sure exactly which way east is, so you can pull out the compass and confirm it before you end up backtracking about 100 feet or so.
It's also a good point to keep in mind.
Especially in buildings like a hotel where GPS doesn't quite work at the moment and you're not sure exactly which way east or west is, especially if there's a big hotel where it's divided into east tower and west towers.
Kevin, do you happen to know who makes that tactile compass?
I'm not sure of the place that makes it exactly, but I know in terms of California, there's a place called Sacramento Society for the Blind, and also Lighthouse for the Blind, who sells it, but I'm not sure. You might be able to get it off of Independent Living Aid as well.
I don't know. I haven't seen it, but then again, I've really never looked that hard, but I'll check out Independent Living Aids and see if they have that.
And also, you're able to get it pretty much at any probably violence-related conference, convention, or workshop, or seminar that might be selling canes or things like that.
You might even be able to get one at your local blind association establishment, too.
No, we got some real slim pickings around here. Take my word for it.
Well, I think I'm going to call it a night, guys.
Okay, it's always fun. We'll probably see you next week. Thanks a lot, guys.
Have a good one, everybody.
Have a good one.